Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. When the Pabst Brewery closed its doors in downtown Milwaukee back in 1997, it was unclear what would become of the area, now littered with abandoned buildings. For almost a decade, the area sat largely unused.
Then in 2006, the area was bought by Joseph Zilber, a philanthropist and real estate mogul who was nearing 90 at the time of its purchase. He passed away just a few years later in 2010 at the age of 92.
Some wondered why Zilber would take on a project like this so late in life, but he had big ideas for the site now known as the brewery. He wanted to restore the buildings and make something that Milwaukee could be proud of. Most of all, he wanted to make it a neighborhood.
Former Lake Effect host Jane Hamden spoke with Zilber back in 2007. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
After all this success, and when you're cruising toward your 90th birthday, why take on a brand new big project like the Pabst Brewery in downtown Milwaukee?
I always say, why not? It is a, every time I look at it, I say, why? Why do this at 90 years old? But why not? I believe we can do it. I believe it will be successful, and it is starting to be successful now, and I'm sure within 5 years or so, you will see things at Pabst that you never dreamed of seeing.
There are some beautiful buildings there. Everybody can tell it has potential, but you've got this crumbling, dirty, Cream City brick. You know, do you worry that by the time it's different and it's undergone its transformation, you're not going to be around to see it?
Who said so? I certainly hope to be around to see it. Maybe I won't, but I hope to be around to see it. That, I think, is going to be something. That whole area is going to be a changed area, and that'll change the area to the west of it. And I'm thinking that it will be great. That will be great. I mean that. I believe the opportunities. You see, we can't build a lot of it. We're cleaning it all up right now, taking the asbestos out, ripping down the buildings that we figure are in the way, creating parks and things like that. But when it's all said and done, everything will be cleaned up, and it'll be a neighborhood for people, for homes, apartments, and most of it will be a green neighborhood. We hope when we're all done with it, it's going to be something. It'll be something actually miraculous. We are keeping the silos, and we've got to do something to make sure those silos will be outstanding. They'll be able to be seen by thousands of cars and perfect location. That is a perfect location for the city. And we will expand that location and create more and more for the city. Your question is, hey, will I be around to see all of that? I don't know if I will or not, but my fellows, the guys working there, all know that I want to see that done, and we will have it done. Yes, it's costing an awful lot of money, much more than I expected to ever have to put into it. But it's there, and it will be great.
Joseph Zilber was a philanthropist and real estate mogul who bought the former Pabst Brewery site in downtown Milwaukee. He spoke with former Lake Effect host Jane Hamden in 2007.
When Zilber passed away in 2010, the future of the brewery seemed unclear. There was still a lot to be done. Now nearly every building in the complex is in use. The brewery, which encompasses 7 blocks in downtown Milwaukee, has sold or contracted out every building. And it seems that Zilber's dream of creating a neighborhood is finally coming to fruition.
Reporter Tom Dakin has been covering the transformation of the former Pabst Brewery site since the brewery closed its doors in 1997. I had a chance to speak with him about the history of the site and its future. Tom Dakin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So I think almost anyone who's even set foot in Milwaukee will have seen the former Pabst Brewery complex. You know, it's this massive space right near downtown. Yeah. What's the history of this space?
Well, the buildings that make up the former Pabst Brewery were built starting about, I think, the 1880s and then proceeded into the early part of the 20th century. And, of course, Pabst was for many years one of the largest breweries in the country. It began to decline, probably in the 60s and early 70s. And by the 1980s, it was sold to an investor out of California who basically his business plan was go around and buy dying breweries and continue to sell beer, but just continue to sell them, run those breweries basically until they fell apart, essentially, to put it bluntly. He wasn't really putting any money, reinvesting any of the profits he made back into the breweries. It was basically a business model that was taken into account kind of what was viewed as the inevitable decline of all these businesses, and Pabst is no exception. So 1996, the brewery closed. Pabst shut down. They moved their headquarters down to San Antonio, Texas, where they had a brewery there. That brewery eventually closed, and Pabst became a company that just owned brands. They didn't brew any beer. They hired others to brew the beer for them, Miller Coors being probably the largest. So ironically, a lot of those brands came back to Milwaukee because they were brewed over in the Miller Brewing facility over on State Street. Okay, so fast forward. You've got this brewery, large chunk of land. I want to say 30 acres maybe.
It's like seven blocks.
Yeah, it's a lot of empty buildings. And finally, about 10 years ago, there was an attempt to redevelop it. The first attempt was done by a developer out of Cleveland who partnered with Wispark, which is based here in Milwaukee. They're the real estate subsidiary of Wisconsin Energy. And they're going to create something called Pabst City. And it was going to basically be a very entertainment-focused retail center. They're going to have a House of Blues. They were going to have maybe a movie theater. They're going to have a lot of bars and restaurants. And it failed to get funding from the city. Naturally, anything that happens over there is going to require public funding because you've got to do a lot of environmental cleanup. You've got to do a lot of demolition of some of the buildings that just simply can't be reused, et cetera. And no one in the private sector is going to do that without some kind of public help.
And there must be some amount of like historic preservation with the buildings,
right? Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when I say demo, there were comparatively few structures that eventually came down. Most of them have been preserved. But, for example, there used to be a huge, like, above-ground fuel tank over there that had to be removed. That's no longer there. So Pabst City doesn't get the money. There's an attempt to go through the Common Council to get some funding. It failed. And then a gentleman by the name of Joe Zilber, who's now passed away, but at that point was a longtime real estate investor here in Milwaukee, he ended up buying the brewery. And that's what became what's now called The Brewery, no Pabst name in there. And that's what's been in development since they started in 2007. Great timing. They started in 2007, and a year later, we're practically melting down the economy of the United States and the civilized world as we know it. So it really didn't redevelop as fast as Joe Zilber and his partners had hoped. It, frankly, the recession that hit in 2008 stalled them for a few years. But they did get a few things going early on. One of the first things they did was they built that big central parking structure there. And that was one of the things that the city money helped pay for. I think the city so far has put about $20 million into that. It might be higher by now. A lot of that for environmental cleanup, but a lot of it to build that parking structure. And the rationale for the parking structure was you build one big parking structure, other developers are going to be more attracted to come in because they can share the parking costs. As proof of that, we had this apartment plan get approved, two new apartment buildings being built on vacant lots over at the brewery. And in one of those cases, one of those apartment buildings, they're not going to have any parking on site. One of them has underground parking on site. The other one has no parking. Well, it has no parking because they're literally like practically across the street from the parking structure.
Yeah,
and the rationale there is, look, if you live here, you can park over there. And that way for the developer, that's one cost that they don't have to pay for. So anyway, I'm sorry. That was the rationale for the central parking structure. And a couple of other developments have used that as well. There's a new student apartments complex that's going to be opening their doors in August. It's called 1125 at the Pabst. That's in the old Pabst bottling house.
Which is an old historic building, 1900, I believe.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, they have these skylights that are just massive because, you know, back when these buildings were built, you might not have had electric power necessarily. So you created skylights, let the light come in, and that's how you brought lightness to the interior. But that's another example of a development at the Pabst that's not – they don't have on-site parking. They just figure, you know what, for those students who bring cars, they can park in the central parking structure. So to go back to what I was talking about, central parking structure is one of the first things that happened over there. They did get an office use over there initially. Part of that was Cardinal Stritch University opening kind of a downtown adjunct campus or small building. And then a big step forward was when they took the old Keg House. That's the building that you can see when you're coming in off I-43 on McKinley Boulevard and you look up and there's this building that overlooks – it's up on the hill overlooking McKinley. That's the old Keg House. That was turned into apartments.
Some of these buildings are 100 years old, 150 years old.
Right,
what kind of redevelopment have they had to do in these spaces?
Oh, well, invariably, as you can imagine, everything that is – kind of the interior systems is already shot to hell. It's probably shot to hell, frankly, when Pabst was running it because they didn't put any money into the place.
Yeah.
And so even if it wasn't already 30, 40 years old, it was not being upgraded. So if you go in there, you think about all the things you need to run any kind of building, whether it's your home or an office building. You have to have electrical systems. You have to have heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. You got to have plumbing systems, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, there's all the aesthetic things. God knows how many decades of soot and grime and crap on the outside you got to clean up. Once you clean it up, they're actually beautiful. In the inside, God knows how many varieties of wildlife you have inside these buildings with the unmentionable things that they leave behind that you have to clean up. But yeah, there was a lot of work that's had to be done over the years. Again, we had sort of this original sort of slowness where the parking structure, some office, that apartment building. But things really started taking off more about 5 years ago. You know, the economy got better. And part of what's helped over there is demand for downtown housing. Now, in addition to the hotel that's over there, and we do have some office buildings, so far really the predominant use is almost, I would have to say, is housing. We have the aforementioned student apartments that are about to open. That's going to house like up to 400 students. Incredibly large amount.
And that's about to open. That's not open
yet.
Yeah,
that's opening like in August. The two apartment buildings that were just approved, if both of those get built within 2 years, that's going to be another 275 units. Frederick Lofts were completed, I think, last year. I want to say together that's around, 100 to 150 units for those buildings or building actually. Next, Frederick Lofts, there's a senior apartments building, small one, but about 50 units there. You have the Brewery Lofts. That construction just started in June. That's the old malt house that's across Juneau Avenue from the hotel. That's another 120 units.
I mean, these are hundreds of units and assumably hundreds of people who are pouring into this area.
Right.
Now, I was just listening to an old interview that we had in our archives from 2007 with actually Joseph Zilber, who envisioned this area as being a neighborhood. I mean, that's the one thing he kept repeating.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I want this to be a neighborhood. I want this to be someplace that people go home to. Has it become that?
It is becoming that. And he did have that vision and really that's coming to light. You know, it's interesting you should mention that because they actually have at Pabst or called Pabst the Brewery, that's something called a neighborhood improvement district. This is an entity that you can form in which you can provide extra funding from the property owners within the boundaries of that district, and that money then gets spent on things within that district. That neighborhood improvement district, which is basically paid by – these are all commercial buildings. It's all the commercial building owners over there. Like that provides – they already have one small pocket park over there. They're about to start building another small pocket park over there. Those are kind of inevitable that you would have in neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
The student apartments – in addition to the student apartments at the old bottling house, there's going to be a food court there. And that food court is meant not just for the residents of the apartment building. It's going to be open to the public. So those will be restaurants. That's something you have in a neighborhood. Mentioned earlier, you have elderly housing. So it's not all, you know, people in their 20s and early 30s and no children. You actually have older folks living over there as well.
One of the questions I had about the area is, I passed through there and there were still a lot of buildings that, you know, were kind of crumbling down and, you know, they have these fences over them with all of this construction.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily, even 10 years out, it doesn't necessarily feel like a neighborhood yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, one thing that it does have going against it, and this doesn't change no matter what type of use you have over there, it is in some way inevitably isolated because of I-43. It's right there as the western boundary. McKinley Boulevard, which is basically an entry into I-43, is basically the northern boundary. And that tends to isolate it from much of sort of surrounding neighborhood and downtown. I mean, it's really tucked into basically – it's basically the far northwest corner of downtown is kind of the way I look at it. You know, there's not a lot you can do about that. I mean, you just have to work with what you have. But I think between the big increase in apartments, which create sort of a nighttime presence to go with the daytime presence of office workers, between that and between some of the newer sort of – hospitality uses that are coming. I mean, the hotel has a restaurant. You also have the tavern and the venues that are part of what's called Best Place at the historic Pabst Brewery. That's a mouthful, right? That's the old Pabst Visitors Center. That has a couple of like venues and a small tavern. But now you're also getting a couple of other places. You're getting the Pabst Brewery actually coming back, which was announced a year ago. They're building that right now. It's right at the far corner there.
And it was supposed to open this summer, but it hasn't yet.
It hasn't. I mean, it's a historic project. Invariably, it gets delayed because, you know,
something happens,
something falls apart. But they're working on it. That's coming along. So that'll open, I'm assuming, sometime yet this year. In addition to that, you've got at the other end of the property, down at the foot of the hill of Highland, you've got that 1970-ish warehouse that Milwaukee Brewing Company is planning to turn that into a much larger brewery, hospitality room, rooftop garden, et cetera. That hasn't happened yet, but they've got the property under contract. In other words, they've agreed to buy it pending various things that have to happen. And assuming they go forward and close on that, you're going to have, again, something that's more of a public use in the sense of driving street traffic. And once you start getting stuff like that, I think it is going to feel more like a neighborhood. This sort of thing can be done, and you can integrate these things into the surrounding neighborhoods with the right kind of planning, the right kind of street connections, et cetera.
Well, and it seems like it's definitely happening here. When I was listening to the interview with Zilber, he said, you know, in 5 years, I'm hoping that something's going to happen. I mean, we're 10 years away from it, but it's definitely moving in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, with the apartments that were just approved, the two buildings, with the Milwaukee Brewing Company project, if those things happen, there's only one spot left to develop. This would be the empty lot that's in front of the Frederick Lofts. Those are some of those newer apartment buildings, and in front of that senior apartment building. So to the east of those apartment buildings is an empty lot. Well, that's under contract. Again, somebody has agreed to buy it. If I had to guess, I'd say it's going to be another residential use. Again, apartments. I mean, it seems like we can't build enough apartments for people like you, the millennials. So
we love apartments.
You do.
When I was looking at the site map, it seemed like everything was either contracted out or already developed.
Right, right.
So it seems like there's not really – I mean, obviously, some of these things are still happening, but it seems like we're coming to sort of the end of the creation of this neighborhood.
Yeah, and of course, that's great news for the city because, again, they've put $20 million plus into this, and that money gets paid back to the city through the new property taxes generated by all these developments. It's called a tax incremental financing district or TIF district, or as some of the opponents like to call it, a tool of Satan. But at any rate, you know, you've got to get development happening to generate the property tax revenue. I think the last estimate I saw was that gets paid off in about another 10 or 12 years. Again, that's taking longer than everyone had expected, but they're getting there. And then, of course, once you get it paid off, what you end up with is going to be a development that collectively, rough guess, is going to be around $80 million of new property value versus less than 10 before any of this happened. So you've got $70 million of new value, which tosses out a lot of property tax revenue annually for the city, Milwaukee Public Schools, Milwaukee County, et cetera, et cetera.
Just as a sort of aside here, the new arena is going to be right near the brewery.
Yeah, just down the hill from the brewery, right.
I mean, how is that going to affect the area? Do you think that's going to help?
Can't hurt. I mean, I know people are sometimes cynical, and I've been guilty of it myself in the past, saying, well, we've had an NBA arena downtown since, when did it open? 88, 89. Didn't really do much, right? I mean, we got a sports bar that ultimately failed in the parking structure across the street from the arena. But a couple of things are different this time around. First of all, you actually have places available for development, the brewery being one example. When the Bradley Center was built, that was a functioning brewery, so you weren't going to redevelop that. You also had the ridiculous Park East Freeway stub that crossed right through downtown, like, what, a block or so north of the Bradley Center. That foreclosed any development there because there was an elevated freeway there. That's now all gone. We now have the land that now has been given to the Bucks that they basically say that they'll develop. And finally, design does make a difference. I mean, you can design things like basketball arenas in ways that better encourage development. And I offer you the proof of Minneapolis, where when the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome was built for the Vikings back in the early 80s, it was built as if it were a concrete bunker in which you wanted to hide the Vikings from anyone. And maybe they thought that's the way the Vikings would win games. Opposing teams wouldn't know how to get into the damn place and they'd win by forfeit. But it had the effect of basically foreclosing any chance of any commercial development nearby. They got a sports bar. I think it's actually called Hubert's after the late Hubert Humphrey, right? Now that's gone. They're building this new grand football arena that is, by any objective measure, much more attractive than the Metrodome. Not that it would take much to be much more attractive than the Metrodome, but it's transparent. You can see into it. You can see out of it. There are connections to the street. They're getting development there. So something like that, like the new, whatever we're going to call the new basketball arena, it can have an effect. It can have a positive effect. I don't think it's inevitable. I would never suggest that, but it can help.
It might. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tom Dakin, for coming in and speaking with me.
Thank you, Joy Parros. It was a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Tom Dakin covers commercial real estate and development for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.